Good morning. I want to tell you what a great honor and privilege it is to be with you this morning. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to bring the word of the Lord to you today. And want to say thank you. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. It's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. If you'd like to read along with me in your pew Bible, it's on page 91. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being that has come into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading and hearing of His holy Word. Up until just a few years ago, I had really good eyesight. But then almost overnight, my arm got way too short. I think they call it presbyopia, old eyes. I don't think it has anything to do with being a Presbyterian. Fortunately, a pair of reading glasses was all it took to take care of that problem. Back last March, though, I had an even bigger problem. On March the 15th, 2017, I suffered a massive stroke. Almost killed me. But because of the power that God gave to me through some awesome medical professionals, an amazing family, incredible friends, and a mighty church, I made a full recovery. But one of the things that happened to me because of that stroke was I lost my vision. Let me back up just a minute. I actually didn't lose my vision. I saw too much. I had double vision because of where the stroke was in my brain. I saw two of everything, and it was quite disorienting and very sickening. But through a lot of hard work and even more prayer, I got over that too. And I have to give all glory, honor, and praise to Christ Jesus, my Lord. But one of the things that experience did was it drove home to me how easy it is to take vision for granted. You know, the physical ability to see is a precious gift, but sometimes we can't see. Sometimes we don't see. You know, there are a lot of people whose physical ability to see has been damaged, and their eyesight is either severely limited or it's missing altogether. There are those who are blinded by this present age of darkness, and because of oppression or injustice or dysfunction or addiction or just the chaos of life, they have been blinded to any sign of hope or joy. Then there are the spiritual eyes of our hearts, that ability to see the glory that God has set before us. How do we see the vision God has for us? That's what I'd like to focus on for the next few minutes. How the eyes of our hearts can be open to see the light and life that God has set before us. How we can let that light and life shine through us to dispel the darkness. But before we go any farther, I'd like for us to take just a moment and pray together. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our God, you have set so much glory, so much abundance, so much light and life before us. And yet there are so many times, Lord, when we just can't see. So as we reflect for the next few minutes on some things that you are doing for us, help us to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds so that we can receive all the glory you have set before us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a little kid, I had a great grandmother I called Gingy. My mother, for some reason, named her Gingy when she was a little girl. And so when I got old enough to talk, I called her Gingy too. And some of my fondest childhood memories are of times I got to spend with my Gingy at her home in Cedar Hill, Tennessee. Cedar Hill is in northern middle Tennessee, almost in Kentucky. And on one of those visits, my Gingy treated me to a day trip to nearby Clarksville. Those of you who have been in the military may be familiar with Clarksville. It's very close to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Anyway, one of the attractions for visitors to Clarksville, Tennessee is a big hole in the Middle Tennessee landscape called Dunbar Cave. Dunbar Cave has a rather infamous reputation. It was a hideout for bootleggers during Prohibition. And it claimed the lives of more than just a few cave explorers. In fact, there was one legend of two teenagers who got together one afternoon and decided they were going to go exploring the maze-like caverns of Dunbar Cave. And they got down in the midst of the caverns when their makeshift lanterns went out. And they were so surrounded by darkness that they got totally and fatally lost. Well, during our tour of Dunbar Cave, Gingy and I were treated to that fateful moment when the tour guide reenacted that fateful moment when the light failed. He clicked off all the lights in the cavern and we were surrounded by complete darkness. And for a child of 5 or 6, it was absolutely terrifying. I was groping for my Gingy when the tour guide invited us to hold our hands right in front of our faces, and the darkness was so total and so complete, we couldn't see anything. And then, with fanfare and flourish, the tour guide struck a match. And the image of that tiny little flame flickering in the darkness was so powerful, I can still remember it 50 years later. That one little bitty light flickering in the darkness dispelled the darkness. It restored eyesight. It calmed my fears. It brought hope and reassurance. Well, that is the image the Bible gives us in the very first verses of the Gospel of John. In the very beginning, John writes, there was the Word of God. And this Word was not only with God, this Word was God. And because of this Word, everything in creation was made. This Word was life and light. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, it cannot, and it will not ever overcome it. From the very beginning, God has been shining light and life into this world. when that Word became flesh, God shined light and life into this world in such a dramatic way that it is still glowing. And there are some things God does that makes it possible for us to see that light and that life. One thing that God does to help us to be able to see the light and life is God gives us the ability to look for it. You know, if you will look around you, you will see positive things that are going on all the time. Now, it is easy to get focused in on the negative, because in our 24/7 news cycle, that's what gets focused on. That's what sells: the death, the pain, the destruction, the chaos. The great snow blizzard of 2018, a couple of weeks ago, is a great example. You know, the news and the social media was focused on how everything was shut down for days. And all over the place, you saw images and you read stories about houses that were burning down because people were trying to stay warm, and vehicles that were catching on fire because people were trying to get unstuck from the snow, and cars and trucks slamming into each other because of the black ice on the road. But if you looked way, way, way in the back, almost hidden away from all of those images, was a little story about a group of people in this area who were volunteering their time and their energy to go shovel snow for people who couldn't do it for themselves. Just a little light flickering in the darkness. In the Gospel of Luke, there's a story about an old man named Simeon. Simeon lived in Jerusalem. And Luke says that Simeon was a righteous man, and for some reason, at some point in his life, God had promised that Simeon would get to see the Messiah before he died. And so every morning, Simeon would wake up, get out of bed, get cleaned up, get dressed, and he would go to the temple to pray and to look. Day after day, Simeon would get up and go to the temple. Years passed. Simeon became a very old man, and still he had not seen God's promised Messiah. And then one day, Simeon got up again and went through his morning ritual, went to the temple to pray and watch, had absolutely no clue that this day would be any different than any other day. But on this particular occasion, a couple had come to the temple to go through the Jewish rite of purification for their firstborn son. They had brought the customary offering of a pair of turtle doves. This couple happened to be Mary and Joseph. They had come to dedicate their firstborn son, Jesus. After years and years of praying and looking, Simeon saw the promised Son of God. God has promised to always be with us. And if we will look, we will catch glimpses, at least, of the light and life God is shining into this world. But it's not always easy to recognize what you're looking at. So a second thing that God does to make it possible for us to see even more of that light and life is that God gives us the ability to learn about Him. You know, God has certain ways of doing things. And the prophet Isaiah reminds us that God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So as we look for God's light and life, we can learn about its nature, and what it looks like, how it acts, how we can better recognize it. Teaching and learning have always been a huge part of biblical community. Certainly, there is there are tiny nuggets of divine truth that we can receive just because we have been created in the image and likeness of God. But God has always relied on the transmission of divine knowledge from person to person. In every day and every age, God raises up teachers so that people can learn about the divine ways. In Old Testament Israel, teaching and learning were of primary importance. The older generation was expected to teach the younger generation about God. Parents were expected to talk about the ways of God to their children. Village elders would recite and recount the stories about how God had been active in their communities. The rabbi was a central figure in Jewish communities who were expected to make sure the people learned as much about God as they could. When we read in the New Testament, Jesus' first followers are called disciples. And the original meaning of the word disciple is one who learns. So by definition, disciples of Jesus Christ are people who learn as much about Jesus as they can. I used to teach middle school history. And in my classes, one of the most frequent questions students would ask me is, why do we have to know any of this anyway? And I would always go back to something that an archaeologist says on one of the videos we used to have to watch about Ice Age Americans. In that video, this archaeologist says, if we don't understand the past, we can't understand the present. And if we don't understand the present, we won't have a future. God opens our eyes to be able to look for light and life shining all around us. At the same time, God opens our minds to learn just as much about that light and life as we can. And the more we understand about God's light and life, the more of it we will be able to see. One final way that God makes it possible for us to see even more of the light and life that is all around us is that God makes it possible for us to live with Him. The Holy Spirit helps us look for light and life. The Holy Spirit can open our minds to learn about that light and life. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live with that light and life as an intimate part of our lives. There is a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Certainly, we want to know as much about God as we possibly can, but God invites each and every one of us into a holy relationship. And it is in that holy relationship with God, with Jesus Christ at the center of our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we will see the light and life of God in ways that we would never dream possible. Take, for example, the Old Testament story of Job. If you remember the story, by all accounts, Job had just about everything anybody could ever want or need. Job had an awesome family. He had a wife, 7 sons, 3 daughters. He was incredibly wealthy. He had a huge farm, thousands of animals, hundreds of workers who loved him and served him. The Bible says he was an upright man who trusted God, and folks thought he was the greatest man to have ever lived. But then it all came crashing down. In a swift succession of catastrophes, Job lost everything. He lost his money, lost his animals, lost his farms, lost his servants, lost his children, even lost his health. He was reduced to a shell of his former self. He was sitting on top of a pile of ashes, scratching himself with a broken piece of pottery. But in all of this, the Bible says that, Job still trusted God. Three friends came to console Job, and their take on the matter was that, Job must have committed some sin so terrible, so awful, that, this was the just punishment. But Job refused to, buy any of that. He said, I don't care what I've done. Nothing deserves this. And so they argued back and forth and back and forth until, if you remember the story, God showed up. God showed up in a tornado and he whisked Job up and, he showed Job just about everything in all creation. And Job was confronted with two questions. Job, where were you when any of this was made? Job, who are you to question my plans without knowledge? Kind of harsh sounding to contemporary ears. But Job's response was very simple and very humble. He fell down on his knees and he said, God, I apologize. I had heard about you with my ears. Now I have seen you with my eyes. The Holy Spirit brings us into a deep, intimate relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the power of that holy, intimate relationship that we are overwhelmed by the light and life God is pouring into this world. As we look for God's light shining in this world, we'll catch glimpses of it. The more we learn about God's light and life, the more of it we will be able to see. As we live each moment of each day with Jesus Christ at the front and center of our very being, we will be overwhelmed by the light and life God is shining into this world. God's one small flicker dispels the darkness. From the very beginning, God has created us for light and life. So I invite you today to look for God's light shining in this world. And when you see it, go to it. Learn as much as you can about God's light and God's life and discover your calling. Live each moment of each day with God's light shining in you and through you. God's light and God's life will fill every nook and cranny of our existence, and through us, God will obliterate the darkness. Let us pray. God, the light of Jesus Christ is shining in this world every moment of every day. The light of Jesus Christ is shining into our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Help us, Lord, to commit ourselves to Him and to His ways so that through the power of Your Holy Spirit, we can join You in the work of dispelling the darkness around us. We ask in His name. Amen.